Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on this very special Sunday night, October 12th. It's special in my family because after quite a bit of relentless, not-so-good news, not just for the country, but it was a rough summer, it was a rough year, we had a bit of good news, spectacularly good and happy news in my family this week. And I'm going to let the person to whom the good news happened tell you. She's my cousin Stephanie. And she's on the phone here to talk about, well, what did you do this week, Stephanie?
Oh, it was pretty exciting. I had a baby this week.
Your own, right?
My own baby.
Yay! Mazel tov, mazel tov. Tell us.
Thank you.
It was it early? Was it on time? Was it, what was it?
She was right on time. I was due October 8th, and she was born October 9th at 2 a.m. in the morning. 2:04 to be exact.
Mit Mazel, what's her name?
Her name is Logan Emily.
Logan Emily. I assume you needed an L for reasons.
We need an L. Her first name is named after my father.
Okay.
And her middle name, Emily, is named after my father-in-law, whose name was Eric.
Oh, okay. And what made you choose, though, Logan specifically, as opposed to Lori or Lucy, or Lainey? Or Lichamachaluch, which is an old Jewish name that some people have used.
Because that's probably a mouthful, and she'd probably be in third grade before she could spell it. But Logan, my husband decided that when we first found out I was pregnant that he knew we needed an L.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, how about the name Logan? And I said, I like the sound of it.
Cool.
We went through a couple of other L names, and we didn't like any of them as much.
Do you know what the Hebrew?
It was a little different.
Do you know what the Hebrew name for Logan would be?
No, I don't.
Are you gonna have a naming thing or any kind of something like that? Because it's a girl, you're obviously not gonna have her circumcised. She's not African.
No, we tried that, and they said no in the hospital.
Oh, really? Yeah.
We are. We're gonna have a baby naming probably in the beginning of December.
Oh, so you can wait on that? It doesn't have to be within a week or two or something?
Nope, anytime.
Oh.
I just kind of welcome her into the Jewish religion. You have a baby naming.
Right, but it doesn't have to be within a week or two.
No time frame.
Awesome. And by the way, Logan is happy and healthy and all that kind of thing?
She is. She's wonderful. With a full head of hair.
Really?
Yes.
She came out with a mane, huh?
What she did.
I assume she's dark.
Oh, dark as in dark hair? She's not tan yet.
Yes, dark as in dark hair.
Yes,
dark skin would be a bit of a shock at this point, yeah.
She's got dark brown hair and grayish blue, more dark gray eyes.
Oh, really? She got the light eyes. Or will those change, do you think?
They'll probably change.
Cool.
But you never know because Adam has like hazel eyes, hazel green, gray.
Right.
And mine are brown, so I'm hoping they kind of stay the color they are.
Now, being nice, although Adam does not exactly have the best eyes.
No.
They're very good-looking eyes, but unfortunately he has all sorts of little medical problems with them. How's he doing with that?
He's good. He's doing okay.
Good? Well,
yeah,
I mean, yeah, obviously.
It's not genetic, so we'll be okay.
Now, how big was Logan, or is Logan?
Logan, when she was first born, she was 6 pounds, 8 ounces.
Oh, 6'8". Yeah, okay.
And 19 inches long.
Uh-huh. If only I were. Yeah, but, you know, thank you very much.
And when we took her home, she was 6 pounds, 3 ounces.
So you're starving her, basically? You're
No, the baby loses a little bit of weight right after they're born.
Why is that?
I'm not really sure, actually. But they say it's healthy and it's normal, so that's all that mattered to us.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, was it an easy process? It seemed to be you were walking around 8.5 months doing everything completely like you were. You were teaching, right?
I was, and more ironic than that, I was on Monday, 3 days before she was born.
Uh-huh.
As you know, I'm a phys ed teacher in Brooklyn, and I was doing jumping jacks with my class.
Now, are you retarded? I mean, why would you do that? You're a pregnant woman, 8.5 months. Why would you do jumping jacks with children?
Because I was very lucky. I had a wonderful pregnancy. It was easy from beginning to end until I got to the labor and delivery part. And I felt good, and I wanted to stay active and moving around, and I thought it'd be best for me and best for the baby. And I mean, I didn't do my full out jumping jacks. It took it carefully.
Did you do your squat thrusts? Did that make the baby come a little faster?
I did. I did my squats like my Lamaze teacher taught me to.
Really? Okay.
I did. They do. They tell you to do squats.
Uh-huh.
And I just walked around a lot and stayed active and moving, and because I felt good and I felt like I could do it, and I didn't overdo it, so.
And you carried totally in the belly.
I looked like I had a basketball under my shirt, and that was it.
Literally. It was amazing. I mean, how much did you weigh at your weightiest, like 120?
No, we'll keep that a secret, but I did not gain a lot of weight. I was, and I, not intentionally. I didn't watch myself. I didn't certainly didn't starve myself. You know, I ate healthy. I didn't change my eating when I got pregnant. Some people, you know, take pregnancy and say, okay, hot fudge sundaes every night. And as good as they sound, and I had my one or two, I didn't crave anything, so I just ate normal, and I put on 23 pounds, to be exact.
23 pounds for a 7-pound kid. That's all right. Now, I always thought you were a vegetarian, but you'll have chicken?
Yeah. No, I'm not a vegetarian. I don't eat red meat or fish. It's not because of any belief. I just don't like it.
You don't like the taste of it. But
no.
Chicken, you're okay. You kind of dig.
Chicken, turkey, yeah, absolutely.
And so when you were pregnant, you had some of that without having to have red meat the whole time.
Yeah.
There was no point at which the doctor said you should have meat or you were having a perfectly fine diet for the kid.
Yeah. And
cool.
I like beans, and I like, you know, I eat a lot of things that have protein in it, peanut butter.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately, when I first got pregnant, my one stability, which is chicken, was my biggest aversion. So my first couple of, probably the first 2 or 3 months I was pregnant, I didn't eat any chicken.
Well, I don't get it. You were just in your
luck. I couldn't even look at it.
Really?
It was nauseating to me. Chicken cutlets, chicken breasts. Chicken wings, chicken nuggets, anything that I always eat.
Chicken nuggets are generally nauseating to everybody, but...
No, I love chicken nuggets.
Yeah, okay.
Those are my favorite. The chicken fingers, but I couldn't even look at them.
Good Lord.
My first couple of weeks, I lived on macaroni and cheese. That was a good thing.
Yeah.
Carbs become your best friend because they kind of settle a little bit of nausea.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. So
did you have much morning sickness? Did you deal with...
I had very little...
Cool.
I never got sick and a little nausea, but I was very, very lucky, to say the least.
Now, the one thing about having a kid in this day and age is because there's 4 zillion TV channels and there's 100 gazillion internet sites and books and things. How did you keep from being overwhelmed with information?
I had, you know, the first thing someone brought me was what to expect when you're expecting.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And at the very beginning, I said, great, wonderful, I've got 9 months to read this book. And I read probably the first 100 pages and then stopped reading for a while and read a couple more pages. And then about 3 weeks ago, I realized the baby's coming in soon and I crash read another few chapters.
Okay, yeah.
And, you can't believe everything that you read.
Hmm.
Otherwise, you'll make yourself crazy because there's so many things out there. What can happen? You can go crazy doing it. So you have to take everything in stride. And if you want to go crazy reading things and looking up on things, you can. The information is definitely out there, especially with the internet now.
Right, exactly. But I just figured the temptation, every single thing, you look up and then you look up something else, and two things contradict each other, and you just get...
Yeah, things definitely contradict each other,
swamped.
And that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And you're not sure really what to believe. But I'm one of those people that what's going to happen is going to happen. And you listen to a lot of people. People love to tell you horror stories. As soon as you get pregnant, everyone has to share their story with you.
Yeah, but you don't. Amazingly enough, you don't have a horror story even for the labor and delivery. You went in at what, like 8 o'clock at night?
I went in. It was actually 6 o'clock at night, Wednesday night.
Uh huh.
And I was still. I walked into the hospital smiling, and all the nurses said to me, "Are you sure you're in labor?" And I said, "Well, my obstetrician just told me that I was 4.5 centimeters dilated, so I should be here." And I said, I feel okay. I said, you know, I'm a little uncomfortable every couple of minutes.
Right.
But I feel okay. And they said, are you really sure you're in labor? And I said, I believe so. So they you know, hooked me up to all the machines, and they said, yeah, you are. And then, you know, by about 7:30, 8 o'clock, I was really starting to get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And by about 8:30, I was willing to have an epidural because the last few contractions were, you see stars.
Oh, really? They're that? Oof, okay.
Well, yeah, so they get bad. They get nasty. So,
And so once you have the epidural, that's just, it's a shot in the spine, right? That's all it is?
Yeah, what it actually is they give you a numbing shot first in your spine.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, in the I can't remember what part. But first they give you like a numbing shot.
Yeah.
And then they actually give you another shot and they insert a catheter into your spine.
Oh, yay. Well, yeah, so that you have a constant. Yeah, okay. Oof.
But when you're in that much pain, you're willing to do anything. And this is coming from the person who's terrified of needles.
Exactly, yeah.
So I was okay with whatever they were going to do to me.
Well, I assume the second shot with the catheter didn't hurt because you had the first shot.
Right. I mean, yeah. You feel, you know, a little twinge here and there. And then actually the anesthesiologist says you're going to feel almost like electric shocks going down your leg. And you do. You almost feel like your leg got electrocuted and it starts, like, jumping a little bit. But it's only a couple of seconds. And then literally within 10 minutes, the pain's completely gone.
Uh-huh.
I laid there for the next, you know, 3 hours not even knowing I was having contractions.
You didn't even feel pressure?
I felt nothing. It was like, it was a godsend. I said to one of my friends who's 8 months pregnant, I said, don't be afraid. Get the epidural.
I'm getting an epidural next time I go to the dentist.
I'm telling you. And I said, as long as it's safe for me and the baby, as long as it's safe for the baby, first of all. And they said, as long as it's safe, I'm not trying to prove anything to anyone. I said, I am not, if it's safe, I'll have it. And it did. It made it much more bearable.
Whoa. And so you, first of all, it was a natural all the way kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I had a... You know, I don't know if I should say it on the radio, but a vaginal delivery.
Yes! Yes, okay.
And
the cougar is intact, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a little vendetta shape right now, but yes.
Thanks for the image. Okay, yeah. Good Lord. Well, no, mazel tov. So you didn't have a cesarean or anything like that. It was regular feet first kind of a thing? Or
head first.
Oh, head first. That's right.
Head first.
Head first.
Yeah, you want them to come out head first.
Now, when that was happening, since you weren't in any pain, were you able or did you want to look at that? Or were you just eyes closed, looking up, did not want to see that coming out of you?
Well, what happens is the epidural ran out at 12 o'clock.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So what they do is the baby happened to be, you know, head down, right, ready in position, so ready to start pushing. So what you have to do is you actually have to wait for the epidural to start to wear off when you feel the contractions coming. Because you have to know when to push.
Yeah.
They can't tell you. You have to feel it. So, I mean, in my head, I said, okay, as soon as I start to feel this a tiny bit, I'm going to push like crazy because I don't want the epidural to wear off completely and then have to push. So as soon as I start to feel a little bit of pressure, I said, okay, I'm ready to push. And I had to push for a little under an hour, which, you know, some people push 2 times and the baby flies out.
Yeah, right.
Some people push for... 3 hours. So I was pretty lucky in that area too, but it's draining, it's exhausting pushing, and it's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
The epidural starts to wear off more and more. So I had my eyes closed just because I was drained from pushing.
Oh.
And by that point, you kind of really don't want to see too much, but as you know, finally when the baby did come out, the doctor almost dropped her. The second doctor had to catch her.
Oh, that's nice.
She was a little slippery.
Yeah, okay.
But thank goodness she's okay. And they put her right onto your abdomen. So you see her, and she's a little messy looking.
Uh-huh.
But she was beautiful.
Oh.
And
did your husband cut the umbilicus, or did you?
The umbilical cord. He was there the whole time right next to me.
Oh.
He was great. So, he cut the umbilical cord. And then I did something called, I saved the cord blood.
Oh, that's the thing for DNA. I just read something in the newspaper about cord blood and how they're using that. So they're going to freeze it, right, or something. And it's there just in case your kid has a disease down the line. And is that what it is?
Yeah, basically what they do is they take all the cord blood out of the umbilical cord. You send away for it. There's several companies that do it, but you send away for a kit.
You have to have, like, some box tops and things. And
So, and you get the kit in the mail, And you bring it with you to the hospital, and what they do, as soon as the baby's born and they cut the cord, they take the blood, and the company comes to pick the blood up within 2 hours of the baby being born.
Wow.
And it's taken right to the lab. It's, you know, tested for a whole bunch of things, and then it's frozen. And basically what it is, God forbid, if your baby or any of your children, if you do it one time, it's good for any of your children.
Oh.
And if, God forbid, any of your children are born with a whole slew of diseases, they have hopefully enough of the stem cells that they can heal the baby.
So that's what they're getting from the blood, is the stem cells.
Yes.
Because to make extra money, we've been renting half of our downstairs fridge for cord blood. We keep, obviously, extra soda and leftovers and leftover cake in the basement fridge, but we weren't using half the fridge, so we figured...
That works.
Yeah, there's cord blood to the right and food to the left. It works.
I hope really you never cool. mix it up for ketchup.
You know, I have to say those fries tasted a little peculiar the other day.
There you go.
Yeah. By the way... I've been talking, this has been so much fun, and I want to wish you, of course, a big, big mazel tov and happiness
Thank
and health
you.
To Logan Emily Shefflin. But I do want to get your husband in on the act. And meanwhile, like breathing over my shoulder, because he wants to be part of this too, is Rabbi Saul Solomon, the spiritual leader of Temple Sons of Bitches in Great Neck, New York. And he's such a friend of mine and of my family too, that I want him to be part of this great celebration. So I'm going to bring the rabbi in, and if you want to bring your husband, Adam, the rabbi can talk to him and do kind of a man talk sort of a thing, a guy-to-guy thing.
Okay, not a problem at all.
So congratulations again. Well, you know, may it live to 100, not yet, may she live to 120-something or more. Maybe everybody will live by 120-something by the time, her time rolls around. So bring on your husband, and I'll bring on the rabbi.
Okay, sure. He's right here. Hold on 1 second.
You got it. Rabbi? What? Finally you gave off the phone.
Hello?
The microphone. Shalom!
Yes, hello.
Shalom! Damn it, hello! Mazel tov, mazel! You father, you, how are you?
Thank you very much. Very good. Thank you very much.
So I was listening to Dave talking to your wife, Stephanie, about the labor and the delivery. You were there for the whole time to watch everything, right?
I saw everything except the kid come out. I missed that part.
What do you mean you missed it? What, were you taking a pee? How do you miss that part?
It's a sad story, but I missed it.
It's like watching Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments. And I was good. I was watching it with Charlton Heston. There was Barry. But the crossing of the Red Sea, I was popcorn. I was out for, how the hell do you miss the thing being born?
I blinked.
Good.
I saw it beforehand, and I saw it afterwards. I didn't see the thing.
Oh, my. And you cut the umbilicus thing?
Yes, I did.
Was that sickening, or was it really cool?
Really cool.
This is mom. So tell me something. So what does it feel like? Obvious question, of course. What does it feel like to be a daddy?
A little better than being a mommy. There's no breastfeeding involved, but...
That would be the fun part, but...
Yeah.
Damn it. Yeah, but no, I mean, do you feel more of a mature person or a man, or do you just feel the same, only now you have this thing that you have to feed?
Yes. The second one is true, but I cannot say that, for she's listening.
So I've wondered this about babies also. Is it seeing anything? Has it opened its eyes?
It looks at me. It knows who I am already.
Really? Oh, this is marvelous.
She knows who I am, not it. She knows who I am.
She knows who I am. I'm sorry to be the it thing. I get my pronouns confused. And she knows you're the father.
That is correct.
Wow. Or at least she assumes, because let's face it, you'll never really know. You never really know with women. But let's assume that you are the father. Mazel tov, mazel tov.
That's a big assumption.
Now, can you two pinpoint the night that you created Logan Emily? Do you remember?
I sure can.
Oh, what happened? When was it? What was the...
It was sometime in January.
Well, this I could have figured out. But what, was it a particular romantic evening or...
It was raining out.
Okay.
And it was cold.
So you had nothing else to do, so you leaped into the bed, and did you do a special thing where you said, okay, I'm going to get you pregnant on this one?
That is exactly what happened. We were eating dinner, and I said, tonight's the night.
Really?
That is correct.
Wow, but you know, I do take a little bit of an edge. You weren't married at that point. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Why were you trying to do this out of order then?
It's funny you mention that, because when I said to her, tonight is the night, she thought tonight was the night we were going to get engaged. Little did she know.
Little did she know. Well, you were putting something on something, but it wasn't a ring on a finger, let me tell you. You were leaving something off something. Anywho. So, did you have that moment after it was done where you looked at her and you went, you know, I think we made a Logan?
I think I remember saying that.
Wow. So then, was that the impetus to get married a little while later?
No, not even a little bit.
So the marriage would have been anyway you were hoping to do it?
That is correct.
I was waiting
for August 3rd, 2008. Yeah.
And what was the significance of August 3rd, 2008?
I just always thought about that when I was a kid growing up. I said, I want to get married August 3rd, 2008.
You must have been a very strange child, let me tell you. By the way, how are your eyes? Stephanie said they're okay, but...
I got both of them. One of them wasn't mine.
Do you have different corneas now or something like that?
Yes, I do. So, it was a good deal. I got it on sale, actually.
Two for one. Well, you're both teachers and you both have pupils. Damn it. Speaking of the fact that you are both teachers, how are you going to balance now, both of you, working and raising a thing?
Well, it was very simple with the decision. We decided we both would stop working.
For how long? Forever?
Well, as long as we can.
But this is nice.
2 years.
I would like to do that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to stop working forever now. I'll let the government pay me because they're bailing everybody else out. Let them bail me out. I'm taking off.
I agree. And we get a tax deduction, so we can even work less.
Very good. Have you chosen, like, the high school already and what college she's going to go to?
Funny you mention it. We're actually going on Wednesday to set up a college fund.
It's a very wise idea.
We're going to try to push it through within 2 years. Instead of the usual 4 or 5 years, we're going to go for a 2-year college plan.
Please, a year and a half. It's still cheaper yet. I mean, you probably should do it for elementary schools now. Do you think you'll go public or private or pubic or what?
Pubic after public.
Pubic after public. That makes sense to me. Well, Adam Shefflin, I mean, so much good news on this because you had the wedding recently, you had the baby recently. So much mazel, so much happiness, and you just moved into a house, am I right?
That is correct.
How did that work out?
It's working out lovely. We're painting as she breastfeeds baby. She takes a break and then she paints special paint, milk paint.
Milk?
No odors.
Oh, is that really true? It's perfect.
That is true. They came out with a new paint. It's a milk-based paint.
So in other words, the toxic fumes don't even smell. So
that's
this
correct.
Is a good thing. I like this.
Actually, after she's done breastfeeding, I hold the baby and she paints the walls and everything.
Well, you know, you got to put it to work because she'll get lazy.
That
you know
correct.
How women are. I'm sorry to say it, but it's...
I hope my daughter follows in her footsteps, a hard worker.
Now, I don't mean to offend by this question, but it is important to me, if to no one else. Are you going to raise the baby Jewish?
Of course.
Yes! Damn it! Yes! Well, you are not. Are you? No, you're not. But it's very nice of you to have... You had a Jewish wedding ceremony, and you're going to raise the baby as a Yid, which is... You're bringing someone into the fold. I mean, the baby's already sort of in the fold, because the mom is Jewish. Have you thought about converting, or are you not going to go there?
I had a bar mitzvah.
You had a bar mitzvah?
I had a bar mitzvah growing up, sure.
So you're Jewish?
Sure I am.
Wait a minute. So how do you say that you're not Jewish? You're Jewish.
Well, I go to church with my mom every once in a while.
I go to church for funerals, but it doesn't make me the Pope. Well,
you should rethink that. Maybe it will.
I want to leave you, Adam Shefflin, with such mazel and such good luck. And, of course, your lovely wife, Stephanie, Dave's cousin, excuse me. Oops, made a little boo-boo there. With a blessing and a convocation. Are you ready for your blessing?
I need one of those. I haven't had one in a while.
Here we go. Lower your head and think spiritual thoughts. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Let there be light. Let there be joy. Let there be 10 fingers, 10 toes, and a vagina. May Logan eat from the table of knowledge and poop out all her sins. May she always have enough onions, because you can never have too many onions. May she ride buses and subways and never be annoyed by cell phones. May her enemies be kicked to death by vicious invisible ostriches. May her worst disease be a pimple, and may her worst nightmare end with Golda Meir saving the day. May she one day see Eretz Yisrael, but only after seeing Paris, Rome, and parts of New Rochelle. May she never be home when Jehovah's Witnesses knock, but always home for Publishers Clearinghouse. And to you, and to Stephanie, may Logan be a pleasure to you in your youth, a comfort to you in your old age, and a funding source in your senility. And may Logan grow up to have her own strong, healthy family. And may they give her the joy and nachas that my family doesn't give me. Hear, O Israel, or if you're deaf, feel it. This is my blessing and sanctification on Logan Emily Shefflin. Welcome to the world. It's too late to get out now. B'emru, Amen.
Amen.
Mazel tov to the Shefflins.
Thank you.